Okay, today we're going to learn Daf Kuf Mem. Okay, I made a sheet that charts out a bunch of things on the page. We were in the middle of this drasha, that Sippur. The assumption was that it's Sippur. When it says a bird, it means, right, that the whole mitzvah is related to a bird. And the word Sippur includes only kosher birds and not non-kosher birds. So we started yesterday with trying to say, are all these references to Sippur, where it includes non-kosher birds? Today we're going to, and every time we explain, oh no, that meant Sippur, this and not, right, it didn't necessarily, it wasn't relating to non-kosher birds, and we explain that each time we had some explanation. Today we're going to continue in that. Some, as you can see from the chart, some are more simple and some are, you know, more complicated. So Tashma, we're at the very last word on Kuf Lamed Tet Amud Bet. Uba Anfohi Yidurun Tzipore Shmaya. This is from Daniel, that's why it's in Aramaic. And on the Anafim, that's where the birds of the skies rest. So now it seems like, wouldn't you think that this is all birds? And there's no Kanaf here. Last time we had Tzipor Kanaf, and then we could say, oh, well, Kanaf includes the non-kosher types. But here it seems that it's all included from Tzipore Shamayim. That even non-kosher birds are obviously included there because it's talking about birds resting on trees, which relates to all birds. So now, what do they say? No, because Tzipore Shmaya Ikru, Tzipore Stama Lo Ikru. Again, this has a descriptive term. It's saying the birds of the heavens or the birds of the skies, that we understand the birds of the skies will include all animals, but a regular bird doesn't include, right? The regular word Tzipore doesn't include non-kosher birds. Okay, next one, Tashma. Kol Tzipor Tehora. Okay, so now we have this pasuk about, this is kashrut, Kol Tzipor Tehora Tochelu, which sounds like, right, any Tzipor Tehora you can eat, but not a Tzipor Tme'ah. Sounds like it's usher to eat Tziporot, right, Tziporim Tme'im, Michlal Deika Tme'ah. So then they say, no, what this means is Michlal Deika Asura. There's birds that are forbidden to eat, but not because they're not kosher. They're forbidden to eat for other reasons. So it says, you can only eat Tzipor Tehora means you just can't eat birds that are forbidden for eating. Now, why would they be forbidden for eating if not because they were, because they're kosher and not kosher? No, the issue is, right, Maihi. So what would it be? Well, now we're going to have a bit of an issue because what are you going to assume, right? What can you eat? A treifa, let's say. Well, eat treifa behediktiv. There's already a pasuk that teaches us treifa. What's the pasuk? There's a bit of a problem with this pasuk, but the pasuk Rashi says, look at Rashi, Vayikra Kaf Bet, Nevelau Trefa Lo Yochal Letam Abba. Right? And we learned that that pasuk is talking about an oaf. The problem is, what's it talking about? It's talking about an oaf tahor that is Mitame Bebet Habliya. Remember, it was all about Tuma. Lo Yochal Letam Abba, because it said Lo Yochal. They learn, right, that it's while you're eating it, it's Mitame. And it's not exactly teaching that a trefa is asur, but still, it says treifa on the pasuk. You could say maybe it's coming to teach both. Bit of an issue, but we'll leave that aside. They say treifa, we already have a pasuk for. Ve'i b'shchuta de mitzora. Now there's another type bird that you're not allowed to eat. What is it? If you remember with the mitzora, there's a process the mitzora has to go through where we take two birds. Actually, do this outside the Beit HaMikdash because why? The mitzora, remember, the mitzora has to sit outside all the machanot. So in order to allow the mitzora to come in, they do this first procedure where they take these two birds, they shecht one of them, and the other one is left to go free, right? And then they dip the blood, and they zov, and they make this concoction. Anyway, we're not going to get into all the details, but the main thing we have to remember for today is they take two birds, one they slaughter, one they let go free. So now, maybe it's coming to teach you can only eat at Tzipor Tova. You can't eat at Tzipor that was shechted, even though it was shechted. And in theory, you would say it's kosher, but since it was shechted for the Mitzorah, that bird is not allowed to be eaten. Okay? It's a little rachok to say that the pasuk that's saying Kol Tzipor Tova Tochelu is coming to exclude that case, but okay. That's what they're going to say. It's coming to exclude that case. But if you want to say it's that case, in other words, we're trying to think of what type of birds can't be eaten that are kosher technically, but can't be eaten. So number one, a treifa, but that we already have a pasuk, can't be this. So must be the mitzora, okay? Iba shchuta de mitzora, misefa de kranafka, but you can't say it's that one either, because that's learned from the next pasuk. The next pasuk after Kol Tzipor Torah Tochelu says, v'zeh asher lo tochlu mehem, and it says, ha-nesher va-peres va-oznia. Remember, we learned all this in the beginning of the Masechet about all the non-kosher birds. So now, what's the problem in this pasuk? Where's the room to darshan? It says, it could have just said, v'zasher lo tochlu. And then it lists all the, but what does it say? V'zasher lo tochlu mehem. The word mehem is extra. What did they darshan from mehem? Lirabot shchuta mitzora. That's to teach you that you're not allowed to eat the shchut of a metzora, which means you can't say it comes from Torah because there's already a pasuk for that. So we can't say treifa because that comes from a different pasuk. We can't say the metzora shchuta because that comes from a different pasuk. So what are the answer? La'olam b'shchuta de metzora. Really, it is the shchuta metzora. And why are there both of these pesukim? La'avor alav ba'ase v'lo tase. To say that there's an ase and a lo tase. If you eat the shchut of a metzora, you're over on not being mekayem the mitzvah taseh of kol tzipur torah tochelu, and you're also over on the lo taseh of don't eat mehem, which includes that. So now they say, well, once you already give us that answer, well, then we could go back to the treifa, because what was the problem with the treifa? There's another pasuk, so we could say, that pasuk also, there's a lo taseh and an ase. Why don't we just say that? V'lukma b'treifa v'lavor ala ba'ase v'lo taseh. So the answer, davar lameh me'inyano u'binyana d'shchut aktiv. They wanted to learn this pasuk called Tzipor Torah Tochelu. How do you eat a Tzipor Torah? Well, you shecht it. So therefore, it must be they're talking about a kosher shechted bird that's forbidden to be eaten, right? That's coming to exclude, and that would be the Shchuta Metzora, and that wouldn't be the Treifa, which wasn't shechted properly. So, okay, so they're saying, even though it really doesn't mention the word Shchita, but the concept is that we're saying, eat these birds, you know, that were shechted properly, and you can't eat, even if it was shechted properly, like the Metzora, that one you can't eat. Okay, and then again, we have to say that it's coming to teach an ase and a lo tase, and because it already was mentioned elsewhere. So, again, in a very long-handed way, we've established that kol tzipor Torah doesn't come to exclude a tzipor that's not kosher, because there are no tzipurim that are not kosher. Okay, tashma. Let's try this one. Shtei tzipurim chayot. Now we're going to talk about the pasuk of the Shchuta of Metzora, where it talks about birds again, because we want to take any reference to birds. And it says, take two tzipurim chayot. My chayot. What does it mean by chayot? Lav shechayot beficha. So the first assumption is, doesn't this mean they live in your mouth, meaning you can eat them? In other words, chayot that could be potentially eaten by you, michlal. From here you can infer what? Right? Because chayot is defining which type of tzipurim, a tzipur chayot. They say, oh, that means a bird that can be eaten by you. Michlal di'ika lav shechayot b'ficha, which sounds like there are birds that can't be eaten by you, because why? They're not kosher, which would then be a problem. They say, no, lo, my chayot shechayin rashei varin shalahem. What it means is they're all intact. Their body is live, meaning there's not a broken bone or something like that. They have to be perfect birds, which makes sense if you're going to bring a korban, right? It's similar to, it's not a korban, but it's like a korban. Right, it's similar
because it totally like can't even have a mum.
So right, it doesn't. First of all, there is no mumim by birds, but what it means is it can't have a broken bone, like a broken limb. Okay, right. I don't know wing, but like they talk more about the bones. I think in the like the they don't really have their legs. You know, that's what I think I saw referenced here. Right, mechusarot aver. If they're missing an aver, if their aver is broken, one of their limbs is broken. Okay. So now they say, okay, well, let's find. We can't learn it from Shtei Tzipurei Chayot because we can assume Chayot means their bodies are intact. But Tashma Miseifa, at the end of that Pasuk, what does it say? Shtei Tzipurim Chayot Tehorot. Huh, but it says they have to be Tehorot. Michlal De'ika Tmeot, which sounds like there are those that are Tmeot, which generally we use Tmeot to mean non-kosher. Remember, Tmeot, we keep all throughout this Masechet, we see tahor and tameh doesn't mean our usual tahor tameh often, even though sometimes it does. But here they mean kosher, non-kosher. So what do they say? No, no. Michlal di'ika treifot. You could say, it's coming to say, don't take a treifa bird. Take a tahor bird, not a treifa bird. But then they say treifot michayot nafka. But treifa would already be excluded from the word chayot. Why? Well, what's a treifa? Right? What did we learn already? A treifa is something that's not going to live. It's not going to live, right? Either 12 months or something like that. It's not going to make it. So they say it like this. If you remember, we had a machloket in the beginning of the Masechet. Is treifa chaya or not? Could a treifa potentially live? Just it's got some serious problem that because of that, we're not going to allow you to shecht it. Or is it that a treifa is not going to live, right? The general is we assume a treifa is not going to live, but there was this opinion that a treifa will live. So therefore, what do they say? Hani chalaman da'amar. We can end this whole discussion right now if you hold treifa chaya, because then you can't exclude treifa from the word chayot, which means you can exclude treifa from Torah, which means the Torah isn't not tameh, which means there is no tzipor tameh, and then we're good. But that's only if you say treifa chaya. But if you say, ela lamanda amar treifa ena chaya, but if you say treifa doesn't live, then we're going to learn trefa can't be, you can't take a trefa from the word chayot already, because it has to be living, and trefa is not considered living, in which case, tahorot is still free for us to say, and not tmeot, which gives us a problem. So, lamanda mar trefa ena chaya ma'ika lamemar, what are we going to say? Ve'od, and furthermore, our first assumption, if you said trefa chaya was going to be okay, it's also problematic. Why? Bein lamanda amar trefa chaya, bein lamanda amar ena chaya, mi ditana Rabbi Yishmael nafka. The house of Rabbi Yishmael, they darshened some other way. They already excluded the trefa from some other way. Okay, in other words, forget the word chayot or toro. Doesn't matter. You could say trefa is chaya, and therefore we can't exclude it from chayot. But we all, and then what would you say? We'll exclude it from Torah and we're okay. Oh no, because trefa, they darshan out some other way entirely, which means we don't need chayot or Torah to teach trefa, which means again, where are we left? Tahorot is free to say and not tmeot, and then we're stuck with our problem. Atzipor sounds like it could be tame, even though we said it isn't. So now, why? Where does he learn it from? Ditana de Rabbi Yishmael. This is what he taught. Ne'amar machshir u'mechaper b'fnim, v'ne'amar machshir u'mechaper b'chutz. There's two different types of sacrifices or avodot in the Beit HaMikdash. Some are machshir and some are mechaper. Mechaper is easy. Mechaper just means you get atonement for it, like a chatad and asham. Okay, those are things that are mechaper b'fnim. What's machshir b'fnim? There's korbanot that allow people, like the metzora, the oleda, the zav, the zava, they're tameh and they can't come into the mikdash. So what do? Well, they bring, in order to be able to eat kodshim and come into the mikdash, what do they have to do? They have to bring a korban, right? The asha mitzora, the, right? All those korbanot, what do they allow? They allow that person now to eat kodshim. Remember the yoledet, it says, ve'ele mikdash lo yavo ad melo yemei taharata, right? She has to do the process. And then after she finishes and brings her korban yoledet, then she can go into the mikdash and she can eat the kodshim. So those things are called machshir. They're not mechaper on a sin, but what they're doing is they're allowing you, right, to move forward, to be able to be in the mikdash. So there's machshirim and there's mechaprim, right? Some korbanot are machshir, some are mechaper. Now since, those are bifnim. Since the laws we learn, okay, whatever korban is kasher for mechaper is also kasher for machshir. The laws are the same in terms of which animals we could use for which on the inside, right? It's all the same. So if you can't bring something because it has a mum, you can't bring it, not for the machshir, not for the mechaper. So now we're going to compare a machshir mechaper b'chutz. What's a machshir mechaper b'chutz? Well, the mechaper is easy. What's that? What korban do, or not korban, but what thing do we have going on outside that's mechaper? Yom Kippur, the Seir HaMishtaleach, right? The Seir LaZalzel, what do? The scapegoat, right? That's something that's done outside. And what's machshir outside? The Tzipurei Mitzorah, because those happen outside, because the Mitzorah is not even allowed in the Machaneh, so you have to do that all the way outside. And that's a machshir. So now what do they say? So let's read it again. Ne'amar machshir mechaper b'fnim, there's a machshir and a mechaper inside, and ne'amar machshir mechaper b'chutz, and there's a machshir and a mechaper also outside, because what does the machshir allow? It allows the Mitzorah to come in to the, remember, what does the Mitzorah do? If you remember, we put that stuff on his ears and his hand and his toe, but how do we do it? He can't come all the way, right? He could come into the Mikdash area, because we've done the Shkita of the Mitzorah and the two bird things. That allows him to come in to the first part of the Mikdash. But he can't go all the way into the Azara, so remember he sticks his ear in and they put it in his ear, right? He's kind of right on the border there. There's the Lishkata Mitzoraim, if you remember the map. There's the area where the Mitzoraim would go because they can't go further in, right? It's not necessarily that it's only for the Mitzoraim there. It's just that's the place the Mitzorah can go, can't go further in. So there's a Machshir and a Mechaper Bachutz also. Ma Machshir Mechaper Ha'amor Bifnim, just like the ones that are set on the inside, Asavo Machshir Kemechaper, the laws are the same in terms of which animals you can use. Af Machshir Mechaper Ha'amor Bachutz, Asavo Machshir Kemechaper. The Machshir, the criteria for what you can use for Machshir is just like the Mechaper. Now let's take the Seir LaZalzel. What do we know about it? First you bring two Seirim that are identical. You bring them in. We say one La Hashem, one gets sacrificed, and one LaZalzel, which means that the Seir LaZalzel has to be perfect for a korban. It can't be a trefa, for example. Oh, right, that's our example. Since that can't be a trefa, also the birds can't be a trefa, because we're going to learn the machshir the machshir b'chutz from the mechaper b'chutz, the sir la'sazel. And that's how he gets that it can't be a treifa, which means he can't learn it from the word tahorot, even if you say treifa chaya, and therefore we're going to say that word must be free to teach tume'ot, and now we're stuck. So we're now going to have, you can look at the sheet, that was our first attempt at an answer, to say it's excluding trefo, but no, we already excluded trefo from other places. So therefore, we're going to have four other different answers. Ela Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Lemi Ute Tzipurei Ir Hanidacha, to teach you that if you have a tzipur that was in the Ir Hanidachat, all the possessions of the people in the Ir Hanidachat have to be burned, right? And they're Asr B'Hana'ah. So you can't use a tzipur from an Ir Hanidachat for the mitzvah of the tzipurei mitzvah. That's what it's coming to teach you Torah, and not tzipur on Ir Hanidachat. I know, I was assuming it means a tzipur that was owned by a person. I didn't look it up, but it must be, because I assume birds that are flying around there are not problematic. I assume that's what it means. I didn't look it up, but I assume that's what it means. Let me just see if there's a note here. No, I don't see. Okay, I'm assuming that's what it is. So now they say, well, for which bird? There's two birds, right? One is to be sent off and one is to be shechted. Ilishiluach, if you're talking about for the sending off, if you took the tzipor in your ear nidachet and used it as one of the tzipurim mitzvah and you sent it off, that of course is forbidden, because you're now creating someone else is going to sin, because they're going to find this bird. They're not going to know it came from an ear nidachet. Of course you can't send it off, right? So ela l'shchita, it must be, it means for the bird for shechting, for the mitzvah, you can't use the bird of an ear nidachet, because it would be obvious without saying it that you can't l'shalech. Rava Amar, second, and that's, again, this is, it's the third answer, but it's the second good answer. Rava Amar, lemi'ute shelo lezavegla acheret kodem shilucheha. Let's say you have two birds. One is you're supposed to send off, and one is you're supposed to shecht. Now, before you send, let's say you shecht the bird, and then you haven't yet sent off this bird. In comes another mitzora. You say, instead of wasting birds and taking another bird, let me pair this bird l'shiluach up with another bird and reuse it. That's what it's coming to teach you. You can't do. You can't reuse birds. Okay. So now they say you can't use it on two mitzorahim, basically.
But you can't anyhow because
you checked one and threw it.
Because it's already determined what you're going to do with it, and if it would be chosen for shiluach, then it would be defying.
Well, it's not like there's a goral here. Oh. You could know. In theory, you could. So now they're going to say sort of. They're going to say what? Lamai ilishchita. That's if you want to say pair it up with another bird and sheft it. That of course you can't do, because habay is shiluach. You already have to send it off. Ela lishiluach. But you might have thought that you could send it once on two sets, right? For two mitzoraim, and that's coming to say you can't. That's what it means tahor, and not to send it off. Okay, this is already rachokta from the word tahor, but okay. Rav Papa Amar, okay, fourth answer, third good answer, fourth answer. Litziporim shechlifu b'avodah zara. If I sold avodah zara to a non-Jew, and he paid me with a bird, that bird has the same status as avodah zara. Okay, dichtiv vayta cherim kamohu. Okay, it says lo tavi toeva el beitecha, which is avodah zara, vayta cherim kamohu. What did they learn from vayta cherim kamohu? What? Kol ma she'atam mahayehimenu kamohu. Anything that you barter this for will have the same status as it. So if you traded a bird for an avodah zara, for a pesel, then that bird is going to be forbidden, just like that, which means you can't use it for the tzipurei mitzvah. So again, lemai. This is just like the Yerani Dachat. They're going to say, ilishiluach, if you're talking about the one that you're going to send off, of course you can't send it off. Lo amra Torah shaleach letakala. They didn't say send it off so you could cause others to sin, meaning people won't know that you traded this for avodah zara. Ela lishchita. It must be telling you, don't use it for shechting. Ravina amar, because again, this avodah zara thing is asr b'hana'ah, but you're not getting hana'ah from shechting the mitzorah, so you might have thought, in theory, you could actually shecht it. So what, that it's forbidden b'hana? You're just shechting it, but no, you can't. Ravina Amar, last answer, hacha b'mayaskina ba'of sharagat ha'nefesh. We saw this the other day, right? Maybe it's going to tell you, you can't shecht a bird that already killed someone else that's supposed to get killed. So now they say, well, hechidami. Idi gamardina, the exact question we had last time when we saw this case. If it had gamardina ready, well then barkatlehu, then it's supposed to be killed. Of course you can't, you know, that's like in jail about to be killed. We're not talking about that kind of bird. Ela kodin gamardina, Okay, it must be before Gemar Din. So then they say, Ulamai, again, for what purpose are you using this? Because remember, what's the deal with this bird? This bird is dangerous. It killed someone. We have to kill it because it's dangerous. And we have a chiyuv of biyar tara mikirbecha. So ila shiluach, if we're going to send it off and it's telling you, you can't use this as the one to send, right, is to let go free, bayla tuye le beidina. You have to bring it to the beidin, bikiyumi or biyar tara mikirbecha. So of course you can't send it off. That would be dangerous. And you wouldn't be mekayim the mitzvah of getting rid of bad things in your midst. Ela lishchita. What it's trying to say is, you might have thought you could shecht it, because it doesn't have gemar din yet, so it doesn't have to be executed. But since you're going to shecht it anyway, you're getting rid of the evil by shechting it, and you're mekayim the mitzvah of mitzora at the same time. So maybe you could do that, and comes to teach you, no, you can't use that. Okay, so we now had four different creative interpretations as to what to Chayot Torot is coming to exclude, in which case we don't have to say it's coming to exclude Tmeot, non-kosher. And now we're left with, we've resolved, even maybe overly creative manners, we've resolved all the Tzipurim Psukim, and we can now say, with maybe clear conscience, I'm not sure, that Tzipur means only kosher birds. Tzipur relates only to kosher birds and not to not kosher birds. And that's why the mitzvah Shiloh HaKen is only with kosher birds. Okay, well now, if you remember, the Mishnah said, what if you have either the bird is non-kosher or the eggs are non-kosher or the chicks, right? But not both. So, of tameh rovetz al betzei of tahor is also patur. And the reverse, of tahor, rovetz al betzei of tameh is also patur. So, bishlama of tameh rovetz al betzei tahor. I understand when you say that the mother bird is tameh, because where do we learn this from? Be'inan sipor v'leka. It says you need ki kare kein sipor. The whole concept of sipor, where we got to, has to be kosher, came from the mother bird. But v'leka, and she's not kosher. Ela, of tahoru, betza betze of tameh, hat siporu. But if the mother is kosher and the eggs are not, it should be fine, because we have a kosher bird. That should be sufficient. Who cares what the beit simar? So we say, it must come from what Rav Kahana said somewhere else. Kedam Rav Kahana, tikach lecha, about our pasuk, shalach tishalach, et ha'em, be'et ha'benim, tikach lach. Why are you sending off the mother? So you could take the beitzim. Tikach lach means for you, velo leklavecha. If they were not kosher, you wouldn't be able to take them for yourself. You'd only be able to take them for your dogs. Okay, but you wouldn't be able to eat them. So, just like he said it about something else, which we'll see in a minute where he said it, ha'chanami tikach lach velo leklavecha. Therefore, we're going to say it here also, and that's why we're going to learn the mother's not kosher from Tzipor, and if the eggs are not kosher, we're going to learn it from Tikach Lach. So now, Heicha Itmar de Rav Kahana, where did he make this statement? Aha de Tanya, on the following Braita. Im trefa chayav b'shiloach. If the mother's a trefa, you're chayav to do shiloach haken. But Ephrochim trefot, patur mishiloach. If the Ephrochim are trefot, then there's no... Okay, this is where there's a distinction. Dafka, the Ephrochim, being trefas, are patur mishiloach. Minani mile, where do we learn this from? Ah, here comes Rav Kahana. I'm a Rav Kahana. This is the origin of a statement. Da'amar kra tikach lecha, tikach lach, velo leklavecha. Therefore, if the Ephrochim are trefot, then this whole mitzvah doesn't apply, because what was the whole point? You were trying to take the Ephrochim to eat, and you can't eat them, so therefore you're patur. Okay, now they say,
you eat the eggs, and then like maybe there are other things you could do with eggs. And
so they're darshaning that lach means for yourself. For yourself means to eat, and okay, not for using for other things. That's the drasha. You could argue with it, the pshat, but that's the drasha. Okay. So now they say, Ula kish aim trefal efrochim. So why don't you just make a hekesh and say, whatever's true for the mother, right, whatever's true for the efrochim is true for the mother. And why don't you say, my efrochim trefot patur mishiluach, ach aim trefa nami patur mishalach. Why don't we just say the two are the same? So now they come up with a circular answer, which is what? Im kain sipur lemeute of tamei lamali. If we say that whatever's true for the Ephrochim is true for the mother, then what will we say? So no, they want to say it in the Trefa case. Why in a Trefa case is the mother, if she's a Trefa, still you have to do Mitzvah Shiloh HaKein, only if the Ephrochim are Trefa, you don't. The whole thing was to say, why don't we say these are the same? Well, if you say those are the same, then you'll say it's also the same for kosher and non-kosher. And then what do we say with kosher and non-kosher? Well, there's one drasha for the mother and there's one drasha for the eggs. Well, if there's two separate drashot, then that proves that you can't learn one from the other. Because if you could learn from one from the other, you wouldn't need the Tzipor Pasuk to teach you about the mother. You'd be able to learn it from Tikach Lach, and then you wouldn't need a Pasuk. So that's why they say here, Im ken tzipor lemi'ute of tamei lamali. Why would you need the word tzipor to exclude the of tamei? We'd have already been able to learn it from the chicks. And therefore, we learned that you can't make a hekesh between them linyan treifa, because we didn't make a hekesh linyan tuma, linyan non-kosher, even though they're both are patur from the mitzvah, but each for different reasons. And the fact that we needed a separate pasuk to darshan for each one shows that you can't make a hekesh between them. The hatanya, but now they say, wait a minute. You said a minute ago that the ein treifa, your patur from your chayab if the aim is a treifa, your chayab b'shiluach. So now, what does it say here? One second, no. Hatanya aim efruchim chayav b'shiluach. Right. One second, aim efruchim treifa chayav b'shiluach. So they say, right? In other words, here we see that what? The ima of Efrochim Trefa is, right? Now we're talking about the Efrochim. What do we say? Efrochim or Trefa Chayav, we said you're Pator from Shiluach. And this says, if you're the mother of Efrochim Trefa, you're Chayav B'Shiluach, right? If the mother, there's a mother of Efrochim Trefa, then there's a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen. So Amar Abaye, Hachi Kamar. No, what it really means is Efroch she'iman treifa chayav b'shiluach. In other words, it's all a matter of what's modifying what. Is the treifa modifying the efrochim, or is the treifa modifying the mother? Okay, so if you say Efroch, whose mother is treifa, is chayav b'shiluach, then that matches what we said before. So Abaye just reinterprets it to match the way we said it. By Rav Hoshaya, now we're going to have a question about if you're, what did we say? The aim for the rest of the discussion is going to be about a mother, right, is sitting on her eggs, basically, right? She's rovetzet ala efrochim. What if there's some sort of, we're not there yet. We still have another, I forgot. We're not yet up to that. So hold off on what I was going to say. By Rav Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya asks kacha. Right now we said that efrochim trefot, you're patur from mitzvah shiluach haken. What if hoshit yado laken v'shachat mi'ut simanim mahu? This all goes back to the beginning of the second. You start shechting the bird, and you didn't finish, you didn't do rov of siman echa. Remember, in a bird, you need rov of one siman, right? Either, right? So you start shechting one of the simanim, right? Either the kanei or the veshet, and you sheft not rov, but what have you done at this point? The animal's a treifa now. If you don't finish the shechita, the animal will be a treifa. If you finish the shechita, the animal will be kosher, right? The bird. Sorry, not the animal, the bird. So, mi amrinan kevan de ilu shavik lehu. Now, before you finish the shechita, you now want to take the eggs. So do we say, kevan de'ilu shavit lehum mitarfe, if you would just leave it, it would become a treifa, and be'inan l'chava lo l'klavecha, in which case, you're not chayav in the mitzvah of shiloach haken. O dilma, kevan de'biyado l'migmar shchita, since you can easily just finish the shchita with your own hands, tikach lach krinan be. It's considered tikach lach, because you could potentially eat it if you just finish shechting it, in which case, you'd be chayav b'shiloach. And the answer is, we don't know, teiku. Okay, now we get to what I was going to say before, which is all sorts of dinim of chatzitza. Let's say there's something blocking the mother from her birds. The first is going to be the most obvious case, which is by Rabbi Yirmiyah. Matzlit, let's say the birds are covered, right? Especially if you view this as part of it is, right, it's you don't want the mother bird to, you don't want, you know, them to see, sort of, right? It's this rachmanut. So what if there's a matzlit? Ma'u shetachotz, right? Let's say you have a cloth separating, right, covering up the one can't see the other, would that be considered a chatzitza? Knafayim, ma'u she'achotsu. What if there's wings there? The assumption is the wings fell off, right? They're Rashi says, tlushim. No, tza tlusha. You have a feather, basically, in between. Now, that's already less than a matzli because it doesn't fully block, but there is some sort of a barrier in between. Would that make a chatzitza? Beitzim mozarot, ma'u. Let's say you have the mother bird. Underneath her are unfertilized eggs, which are not chayav and shiluach, and underneath that you have the regular, you know, the real eggs. Would that be, with the beitzim muzarot, now here, they're sort of the same type. Once you have things that are the same type, we usually say they don't make a chatzitza, but they're not exactly the same type because they're unfertilized. Shnei sidre beitzim zo al gavzo. What if you have a layer of eggs and then another layer of eggs? So now the question is, what the issue is. Are you trying to take the bottom eggs without sending off the bird? Even though the top eggs, you clearly be chayav and shiloh hakeim, but maybe the bottom one's not. Some people say the issue is, it must be talking about that the eggs, we're talking about you have to send off the mother bird. Well, obviously you'd have to send off the mother bird because she has eggs underneath her. Even though there's eggs another layer under, what should it make a difference? So some people say, well, the issue is that the eggs on top maybe aren't chayav for some reason. Okay, there's a bit of a debate about what exactly this case is. Zachar gabei betzim, unikeval gabei zachar. What if there's a zachar in between the egg and the mother? So again, there's some chatzitza mau, and obviously the answer to all these questions is teku. We don't know the answer. By Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera says now, what if you have different types of birds? Like yonah al beitzei tasil mahu. Tasil al beitzei yonah mahu. What if you have one type of bird sitting, hovering over a different type of bird's beitzi? Or you chayav and shiluach haken. Sabaya says, this is obvious from our Mishnah. What did our Mishnah say? Remember? Tashma, of tameh rovetz al beitzei of tahor, v'tahor rovetz al beitzei of tameh, patur mishiluach. What does this seem to apply? Obviously, of tameh and of tahor are different types, otherwise they'd all be kosher, right? Or all be non-kosher. So, what's the assumption from here? Only if it's tameh al tahor and tahor al tameh, but ha tahor v'tahor chayav. But if they were both tahorim, different types, you would be chayav, it sounds like. So what are the answer? Dilma b'korei. Maybe there's only time, and we're going to learn the korei, the pheasant, is different because the pheasant generally sits on other types of beitzim, not only their own. Okay? So therefore, they're saying the assumption implicit from our Mishnah was that if tahor and tahor of a korei would be sitting on other beitzim, then you'd be chayav. But a regular tahor on a different type of mean, maybe not necessarily. And therefore, you can't really learn from our Mishnah. Now we're going to talk about the korei zachar, which was in the Mishnah. If you remember, korei zachar, Rabbi Elazar mechayev, vechachamim potrim. Okay, since the male pheasant generally does sit on eggs, therefore, Rabbi Elazar says, you're chayav and shiluach haken, even though he's not a mother, obviously. Vechachamim say, no, potrim. So Amar Rabbi Abba, my time at Rabbi Elazar, atya digira digira. He learns it from two different psukim that use the term digira. K'tiv ha-chabad kore zachar. It says, kore dagar velo yalad. A kore sits on its eggs, but doesn't, even though it didn't bear them. U'k'tiv ha-tam, by the regular birds, u'bak'a v'dagra b'tzila. So here you see, digira is what generally the mother does, and digira is mentioned by the kore. So therefore, we're going to learn one from the other, the kore zachar yachayav in shiluach haken. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Now Rabbi Elazar comes to say exactly what they're arguing, like in which case they're arguing, in which case they're not. Machloket b'korei zachar. The machloket is only if you have a male pheasant. Aval b'korei nekeva, but if it was a female pheasant, divrei hakol chayav. Even Chachamim would agree that you're chayav. So the Gemara says, pshita, korei zachar tznam. What are you telling us? What you're saying is so obvious, it says, a male pheasant. Did you think male pheasant meant female pheasant? So what do they say? Ma'u detema rabbanan afilu kore nekeva patre. Maybe you would say the chachamim reporter not just a doger zachar, but also a doger nekeva. Now why? Because she's sitting on someone else's eggs. Remember, it's only an aim al banim on her own eggs, but not on eggs of someone else. So you might have thought they're also poter nekeva. Now had the katani zachar, so why did it say zachar then? Lo diacha kocho de Rabbi Eliezer. That it's only to tell you that even in a korei zachar, Rabbi Elazar is mechayev. In other words, not only chachamim say not male, not female, okay, but Rabbi Elazar says even a male, I think you're chayav. I disagree with you across the board. You might have thought that. Therefore, kamashmalan comes Rabbi Elazar to say no. They're not arguing about both cases. They both agree about a female. You're chayav. The only question is about a korei zachar. Ve'amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar also said, machloket pekorei zachar, aval b'zachar da'alma divrei hakol patur. The machloket's only about a male pheasant, but a regular male, you're patur. Everyone agrees you're patur. So again, pshita, korei zachar tznam. Why would you even think a zachar, a regular one, would be chayav? So ma'u detema, you might have thought the same type of logic is going to come. Rabbi Elazar, afilu zachar ba'alma mechayev. Maybe you would think what Rabbi Elazar says, korei zachar, maybe even includes even a zachar, any zachar. And the reason why it says korei zachar was lohodiyacha kocha de rabbanan. That they're saying not, you think a zachar is chayav. I think not only is a zachar not chayav, but even the korei zachar is not chayav, even though he generally is doger. And therefore, kamashmalan, that's why Rabbi Elazar has to come and teach us, they're not arguing about a regular zachar, because you might have thought they were. Tanya Nami Hachi, and here's a bright to support Rabbi Elazar says, Zachar da Alma Patur, Kore Zachar Rabbi Elazar Machayev, Chachamim Patrin. And there you have an explicit brighta that says what Rabbi Elazar said. Just want to make it very clear. Rabbi Elazar is a Tana in the Mishnah having an argument. Rabbi Elazar is an Amor in Eretz Israel who's describing what they argued about. And then we bring a brighta to support, and that's even better. Okay, Mishnah. Haitama Ofefet. Now, instead of sitting on her eggs, what's she doing? She's flying around. Now, flying around already, you're not sitting on your eggs. So, Bizman sheknafeh nogot baken chayav, if her wings are on touching the nest, then even though she's flying around, although she's not exactly sitting on her eggs, she's not dogeret, so to speak, but she's still so close to them that you're chayav. L'shalech. Ein knafeh nogim baken, but if they're not touching, then patur mi l'shalech. Okay, if she's flying above, overhead, okay, right above the eggs, but not touching the nest, you're patur. Ein sham ele afroach achad o betza achad, let's say there's only one, you're still chayav l'shaleach sh'ne'emar kan, yikare kan sipur. What did they learn from this? Kem mikol makom, any type of nest, doesn't matter how many items are in the nest. Hayu sham efrochim mafrichim, if the eggs already hatched, okay, and they're already, not only do they hatch, but the birds are flying. The chicks are flying. O beitzim ozarot, or you have unfertilized eggs that will never become chicks. Patur mi l'shalech. How do we know this? Shneamar va'em rovetet al efrochim o al beitzim. Now they're going to make a comparison between efrochim and beitzim. Ma efrochim b'nei kayama, af beitzim b'nei kayama. Since efrochim are, you know, become something, the beitzim also have to become something and not just unfertilized eggs. Yatzu mozarot. So therefore, mozarot are out. Now let's do the reverse. Ma beitzim tzrichin le'iman, efrochim tzrichin le'iman, yatzu mafrichim. The Efrochim have to be like the Beitzim, that they need their mother. If they don't need their mother anymore and they can fly on their own, then this whole mitzvah is not relevant. Okay, the Gemara starts with the Braita. Tanu Rabbanan. Rovetzet veloma ofefet. Okay, they have to be, right, sitting on the eggs and not flying around. Yachol afilu knofeh nogot baken. You might have thought, even if her wings are touching the nest, you'd be chayav. Tamud lamar rovetzet. Okay, therefore it says rovetzet to teach you not. My Talmud, how do you learn this from? Midilokativ, oh, sorry. I said this wrong. Loma ofefet, yachol afilu knofeh nogot baken. You be patur, because it's loma ofefet. Because it says rovetzet, and it doesn't say yoshevet, if it really meant sitting on, physically sitting, it would say yoshevet. Therefore, because it says rovetzet, which is hovering, so there's, right, there's hovering, there's sitting, there's flying. Flying above is considered hovering if the wings are touching the nest. Then it's more like rovetzet. Okay? If it's flying above, then it's already not. Okay, comes, now we're going to deal with this for the rest of today. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda made the statement, and we're now going to have two mahalachim, right? Two different versions of what the discussion that ensued after he said the statement was. Haita yoshevet ben shnei rovdei ilan. Let's say she's sitting, okay, so she's not flying. She's sitting between two tree branches, like she's kind of perched on two tree branches, and her body's kind of perched in between, right? And the eggs are beneath her, but she's not touching them at all. Okay, so she's sitting, which means she really is kind of sitting on her eggs, but there's airspace between. Now, before we had all these questions about chatzitzas, air is not a chatzitza, but she's also not right on top of them. So what does he say? Ru'in, we check out the situation, we evaluate. If she's right above them, that if the branches were to break, she'd fall right on top of the eggs, then you're chayav l'shalech. Vim lav, patur. But if not, if the branches were to break and she wouldn't fall on the eggs, then you're patur. So now we're going to bring a contradiction from another source. Meitive. Okay, again, this is the first mahalach now. We're going to bring this source to contradiction. Haita yoshevet b'nehen. Okay, now here I charted out at the bottom of your sheet if you want to look. If the mother's sitting among her eggs, patur mi l'shalech. Al gabehen, so if she's among them, no mitzvah of shiloch. If she's al gabehen, on top of them, because that's how you do rovetzet, chayav l'shalech. Then you be chayav. Haitama ofefet, if she was flying, afilu knafeh nogot baken patur. Even if her knafayim are touching the cane, you be patur. Now this we're going to have to deal with later because this contradicts our Mishnah, but let's leave that aside for right now. Patur mi l'shalech. So now, the first thing they're going to say is like this. Since the first case was benehen, and the second case was al gabehen. Now note, okay, this will help you if you look at the chart. The case of benehen The case of Benehen, you're Patur. Al-Gabehem, you're Chayav. But the assumption is that there's something similar about the way it's Benehem or Al-Gabehem. So what's the first similarity they assume? And this is why there's going to be different versions about what you would assume first. My love, Al-Gabehem, Dumiya de Benehem. Do we not say that Al-Gabehem is the same way that you would be Benehem, meaning Ma Benehem dinag abahu. She's actually, if you're Benehem, you'd actually be touching, because usually you're among, there's touching going on. Af Al-Gabehen dinag abahu. When they say Al-Gabehen, you're chayav l'shalech, that must be only if you're touching. Now, what would that assume then? That Rav Deilan, you're not actually touching. Aval Rav Deilan, we would assume is patur, and that goes against what Rav Yehuda said, because he said, right, as long as the branches would fall, she'd fall on the egg, which is obvious, she's not touching the eggs, which means, right, according to Rav Yehuda, you'd be chayav, and according to this, the assumption is you'd be patur. So they reject that understanding, and they say, lo, al gabehen dumia de benehem. No, we'd say it the reverse, we'd say it like this. Al gabehen, like benehem, in a different way. Ma benehem de lo nagalai. Why did you assume benehem means she's touching? You could be benehem and not touching. Af al gabehem de lo nagalai. Okay? V'hainu of Deilan, and that's exactly our case, where she's above but not touching. Ah, that would prove our case. Hachinami mistabra, and this all the more so makes sense. Why? De isa kadatach Rav Deilan patur. If you would think that Rav Deilan is patur, aditane, what's the third case in the Braita? Aitama ofefet afilu knafea nogim bakem patur milishaleach. Litne Rav Deilan. If meofefet, where she's not even trying to sit on her eggs, you're chayav, right? Afilu knafea nogim bakem, sorry, you're patur. And if Rav Deilan, we're going to say is patur, like they tried to say against Rav Yehuda. What should it have said there? It should have said the bigger chidush, which is Rav Deilan, where she's not flying about. She's actually trying to sit on her eggs. She's just doing it with some distance in between her and the eggs. Of course, right? If you're patur in that case, we should say that case, v'kol shekei me'ofefet. Because that's a bigger chidush than me'ofefet. So what do they say? No. You're wrong. Me'ofefet is a bigger chidush. Why? Me'ofefet itzrichale ta'afilu knafeh nogot bakem patur milashalech. They wanted to teach you that there, even though it is touching the nest, you're still patur. So that's actually a bigger chidush than Rav Deilan, which means we didn't prove our reading, but we can at least use our reading to not knock out Rav Yehuda. Now we're going to deal with that last line of the Braita. V'hanan t'na, but didn't it say in the Mishnah, Bizman sheknefeh nogot bakem chayav l'shaleach? And here it says, Bizman sheknefeh nogot, even if knefeh nogot, you're patur. Amar Rav Yirmiya, ki katane matnita binogea min atzad. The touching in the Braita and the touching in the Mishnah are two different touchings. The touching in the Mishnah was she's flying above and touching the can on the top. And there you're chayav. The one in the Braita that says you're patur is if she's nogat on the side of the can. Then she's flying and nogat on the side, then you're going to be patur. Okay, that's the first way of reading the sugya. Now we're going to read it the second way, which is going to just kind of reverse things. Because we're going to say, instead of saying it, contradict, it was brought to contradict, they're going to bring it to try to prove, and then they're going to say, oh, you can't prove. Ika de amre, lema misayale, why don't we say the source proves Rav Yehuda? Because haita yoshevet benehem patur milashalech, al gabehen chayav l'shalech, haita mofevet afilu kafer anu opakein, patur milashalech. That's the same thing we just read. Now, they're going to start with the second assumption first. My love, al gabehem dumia de benehem, ma benehem de lo nagalayu, just like benehem, she's not touching, that's our first assumption, af al gabehem de lo nagalayu, which would then say, v'hainu of deilan, that should prove our case. So then obviously they're going to reject it and say, oh no, what we thought first and last, we're now going to say. Lo, you could say this doesn't prove anything because al gabehem dumia de benehem in a different way. Ma benehem dinag abu. No, we can assume benehem means dafka, she's touching. And therefore, al gabehem dinag abu. Avor Rav Yehilan would be patur, right? So then we can assume no against Rav Yehuda. Then they say, well, ihachi, doesn't make sense of the Tani Seifa. In the Seifa, it says, haitam ofefet apilu kunofeh no gopakan patur. Litne Rav Yehilan. Well, then, right, if you're going to say it's patur against Rav Yehuda, then you should have brought that case in the Mishnah instead of the me'ofefet case, because that's a bigger chidush. So then they say, right, and then we know, v'koshake me'ofefet, if Rav Deilan is patur, obviously me'ofefet is patur. So then they say, no, me'ofefet it's drichale, that's a bigger chidush, to teach you that filu knafeh nogot bakem patur milashalech. And then again, we end with, but didn't our Mishnah say, v'hanan t'na b'zman sheknefeh nogot bakem chayav l'shalech, against the Braita? I'm Rav Yehuda, ki katani manitim b'nogeh minatzad. And that resolves it, right? There's no contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braita because they're each talking about touching in different ways. Okay, so that was taking Rav Yehuda and saying, right, two different ways of understanding the Braita. One way to start off by saying it seems to contradict, and then we say it doesn't contradict, or saying it seems to prove, and then we say, oh, well, it doesn't really prove. Okay, and then we're left with, right, the source doesn't really do anything either which way, because it can be explained any way you want. Okay, that's it for today.